There is life after this life. Heaven is real. Hell is real. Rapture is real. Jesus will come back again. And let no man deceive you. And don't allow whatever pleasant or pleasurable thing that you may be having or seeing in this world to make you think that this world will never come to an end. Sometimes we may have those feelings. Sometimes we may even wish this world doesn't come to an end. Most especially for those who are enjoying the better part of this earth. Those who seem to be enjoying, as it were, the physical resources and wealth that are available and abound on the earth. If you ask their opinion, I'm sure that quite a number of them will say, if there is anything that can prolong and extend this world, please let it continue. But whether you love what is happening or you don't love what is happening, one thing is going to happen for certainty, and that is one day, this world and its beauty and its glamour and its glories will come to an end. And then there will be another world as designed by God. The problem is not whether the world will end or not. The big problem for every child of God, or the big challenge for every child of God, should be whether we will make it into that next world that will be more beautiful than what we have experienced or what we are experiencing here. Praise the Lord. And so I'd like you to pay close attention to what the Holy Spirit has got to say. The concept of eternity. Once again, the topic is preparing for eternity. I'm going to take out time to explain what eternity means. You know, somewhere in the book of Mark, the Bible says, what shall a man give in exchange of his soul? What shall a man give if he ends the whole world and loses his soul in hellfire? When you hear the word hellfire or heaven, you should not just describe or look at hellfire as a place where fire is burning. It goes beyond fire. Hellfire has to do with something that will remain permanent forever, just like heaven is. So the concept of eternity is clearly written all through the Bible. Yet, for majority of believers, the world, eternity is not fully understood. All through the Bible, you will see the concept of eternity. You will see that the Bible describes eternity in various forms and in various ways. But you know, a lot of believers either don't know about eternity or they clearly don't understand what it means. Now, until a man understands the meaning of eternity, he will not be able to prepare for it properly. If you don't understand what eternity means, it's also going to affect the way you prepare for it. Another word for eternity is permanent. Another word for eternity is unchanging. Another word for eternity is forever. And so if you don't understand what eternity means, you may not be able to properly or accurately prepare for it. Praise God. Now, we are going to see a brief illustration of eternity that Jesus gave. Let's read Mark chapter 9, verse 43 to 50. Mark chapter 9, verse 43 to 50. Verse 43. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. I'd like you to take notes of two key words there. Number one, it is better for you to enter into life. Take note of the word life. And then, into hellfire, that the fire that never shall be quenched. 44, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. 45. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. 47. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. For everyone shall be salted with fire. And every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its saltiness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. Now, if you read through that scripture, you understand that there are things that Jesus had to repeat more than once. And that words were directly spoken from the mouth of Jesus by God himself. And if God had to repeat one thing twice or three times, then we must take it serious and look at it over and over again. This text is not a parable. Jesus wasn't speaking parables. It was a direct statement, a clear statement from Jesus. Jesus, who knows what eternity is, he's been in eternity, he's still there, and will be there forever, try to explain this mystery. This scripture shows that nothing in this world is eternal. In other words, nothing in this world is permanent. Nothing in this world is unchangeable. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18. It said, "Why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Praise God. So, if you look at this world, everything in this world we can see. And the Bible says that everything we can see, everything we can lay our hands on, can change and will change, will melt away. They are not eternal. This world and your condition in it will pass away one day. But eternity has to do with permanence. So I like us to understand that this world that we are living in will pass away. And that's why a very spiritual person sang a song some years, many, many years ago. He said, "Take the world and give me Jesus." You better take the world and give me Jesus, or you better leave the world and follow Jesus. So this world that we are living in will pass away. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, reading from verse 1, Paul enumerated what it means to have the fruit of the Spirit by saying, "Even though I speak in the tongues of men and in the tongues of angels, if I don't have charity, I become like a noisy cymbal." And it went on and on and on and on. Towards the end, it said, "As for prophecy, it will pass away. As for signs, it will pass away. But the word of God, love and charity will remain the same." So God is trying to highlight to us that this world and the condition that we are going through in this world will pass away one day. So if somebody is poor today, is it that the person becomes rich tomorrow, or he dies a poor man? And when he dies a poor man, poverty is gone as far as that man's life is concerned. So the world that we are living in, the world that we so enjoy, the world that looks so beautiful, you know, sometimes people will say, "I can't imagine God destroying this kind of beautiful world." Have you been to some cities before? Those who have not gone outside the shores of Nigeria will say, "Have you been to Abuja before? It's a beautiful city." In fact, there are places you enter in Abuja and you begin to imagine whether God will have the heart to destroy such a city. And then have you been to UK? Have you been to South Africa? Have you been to Dubai? Beautiful places you can behold. So how dare you think that God would destroy this kind of place? But you can refer them immediately to Genesis chapter 18 and Genesis chapter 19. I'm sure that Sodom and Gomorrah was very beautiful. Sodom and Gomorrah, they had oil. Sodom and Gomorrah is in the Arab nation. But the Bible said their sins have come up to me, and so I've made up my mind that I'm going to destroy them. Praise God. You know why God can destroy what he created? Because he does not take him time to recreate another if he wants to. And if you read the book of Revelation, the Bible makes us to understand that God is going to form a new Jerusalem, where he will be the architect and the designer and the builder of it. He will design the new city by himself. He will design the roads. He will design the street by himself. Praise God. So it won't cost God anything to destroy the earth. So I'd like you to understand that this world that we are living in, this world that we are enjoying, and the condition that we are passing through in this world, whether good condition or bad condition, will do what? Will pass away, because they are not permanent. They were not created to be permanent. But eternity has to do with permanence. It is not measured in terms of time or change. Eternity has to do with something permanent. Eternity is unchangeable. Eternity is forever. Eternity cannot be measured with time. It cannot be measured with change. In other words, the moment you step into eternity, there is no time. There is no calendar. Nothing changes in eternity. Everything remains the same. That's why if you go to heaven, or if you read so much about heaven, you discover nothing grows big and nothing grows small. Praise God. The Bible says in the book of Revelation that the four beasts and the seven elders worship God. So if you get to heaven, you also see beasts. And they have been in heaven for all these years, and they have not changed from being beasts to becoming human beings. Praise God. So when you step into eternity, nothing changes. And that's why it is very important we understand what eternity is, the implication of eternity, because there are two places you can spend eternity, either in hell or in heaven. And either of these two places is going to be a place where you will need to live forever. Nothing change. If you read that book of Mark, the Bible says, where their worms dieth not, and their fire quencheth not. It's not going to quench, because it cannot quench. In eternity, even worms live forever. Praise God. That gives you an idea of what eternity is. And it is important that we prepare for it. That we no longer live in this world as if everything we are going to have will start and end here. Paul said, if I only in this world have hope, I am amongst men most miserable. In Hebrews chapter 9, the Bible says, it is appointed unto a man once to die, and after death comes what? Comes judgment. Praise the Lord. In eternity, there is no growth. In eternity, there is no change. In eternity, there is no improvement. In eternity, there is no enlargement. When you step into eternity, there is no room for change. There is no room for improvement. There is no room for growth. If somebody dies today, everything about change in that person's life has been concluded and put a hold to. There can be nothing like change anymore. In eternity, you can't improve on something. The only time you have for improvement is here and now. When you step into the other side, you can't improve on your past life. You can say, let me go and live a better life. Praise God. And that's why I argue a lot with the people who claim they have gone to heaven and come back. And some say they have gone to hell and come back. If the scripture is true, then that revelation is purely contrast to what the scripture says. You can't step into eternity and return. I have no argument with the people who say, God has shown me a vision of heaven. There's a difference between when you have seen a vision of heaven or a vision of hell, and that you went to hell and you came back. Praise God. So when you see people who say, I've gone to hell. In fact, God took me to hell. I saw one person. I saw the other one. I saw the other one in hell crying. He took me to heaven. No. You can't get there and return. Praise God. In fact, for you to get to heaven, the Bible says the body terrestrial will put on body celestial. Praise God. So there has to be a complete change in your humanity. And so you can't get to heaven and still come back and live in a body. It is practically impossible. When Jesus died and resurrected, when the women saw him, Mary Magdalene in particular, she ran to go and hug him. Jesus said, don't touch me. Because the body I am carrying now is not the same body that you anointed on the day of my burial. Praise God. So there is a complete transformation of the human anatomy. If you are going to get to eternity, you don't carry this body. This body cannot fly. You carry the same bodies that angels carry, that you can be suspended in the air. Praise God. When the rich man went to hell and Lazarus went to heaven, they had a conversation between the rich man and Abraham. And he said, can you send Lazarus to come here and give me water? Abraham said, there is a big gulf. There is a big demarcation between you over there and we that are over this way. No one can cross from here to that side. And no one can cross from this side to the other side. Now, that's the scripture. But here some people will testify. They went to heaven. After God showed them all the beautiful things in heaven, he also took them and went to hell. No one can cross either side. Praise God. And so that means you can see each other, but you may not, you can't cross. So in eternity, nothing improves. Nothing grows big. Nothing enlarges. In eternity, there is constancy. There is permanency. And there is consistency. When you step into eternity, you step into what is unchangeable. Praise God. When you step into eternity, you are stepping into what is unchangeable. And that's why it is important that everyone who lives now will see life today as an opportunity to prepare for eternity. Because the day you stop breathing, your book has been closed. Your chapter has been closed. It is not possible again for you to repent. It's not possible again for you to change. It is not possible again for you to improve upon anything. And so it is dangerous for a man to live carelessly while he's alive. It's dangerous for somebody to live as though there is no tomorrow. There is no life after now. The essence of this study is to bring back the consciousness of heaven to us and the consciousness of hell. The truth is, Jesus may tarry to come, maybe for the next 1,000 years, but you are not going to live for the next 1,000 years. And let no man deceive you. If I say that everybody who listens to me or everybody who is alive today will live for the next 5 years, I will be mocking you, because there are some persons who are alive today that they may not see tomorrow. Praise God. That's how life is. Job said, man that is born of a woman is of few days, but full of many persecution. So in eternity, when you step into it, nothing changes. Your condition can neither improve nor depreciate. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. 17. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God does what? Abideth forever. Praise the Lord. So once again, scripture is reiterating that the world will pass away. And if you can measure it by physical things, you discover that fashion, policies, governments always comes and goes. So that should inform you on the heart you must carry while pursuing things in this world. You see people very desperate to have God solve their problem. You see people very desperate to have their physical conditions change. Somebody who is sick is willing to go at any length in order to get healed. Somebody who is poor is willing to go at any length in order to make money. Somebody who has one challenge or the other is willing to go at any length to change his condition or her condition. But a few persons are doing anything or something tangible that will affect life after now. If there is anything that should be most important in your life, it should be what becomes of me after now. Praise God. If God finishes solving all your problems on earth, if God gives you all the money you need on earth, what next? What will become of your life? What would the kingdom make of you beyond your problems? If God were to solve all your problems, what next? And so beyond our problem, beyond our enjoyment, beyond the pleasure that we need, that we seek and that we desire, We must ask ourselves this pertinent question. What becomes of me after now? If I cease to breathe now, what becomes of me? What will be said of me? Let me say this again. The life after now is more permanent than the life that we are living now. Praise God. And I'm sure that if you were to know about something that has a longer lifespan than what you already have, you will do everything possible to have that one. For instance, if you have a torch light and you want to buy batteries, you go and ask for a battery that can last longer. Praise God. Some persons buy iron battery because they believe it will last longer. Now, if it is possible that you see a battery that the seller tells you this battery can never die, you can use it 2 years. I'm sure that you do everything possible to get such batteries. For your wristwatches, to get such battery for your phones, to get such batteries for your touches, and all of those things that will need battery. Because you want durability. Because you want to enjoy it. And so the life after now is a longer life. People live at most 120, 130, 140, 150, 160. I'm yet to see somebody that lived 180. I'm yet to see somebody that lived 200 years. But the life after now is going to be a life that you don't die. That is to say that if you enter with regret into eternity, you will forever live with regret. If you were to be sick in eternity, the sickness would not be cured. How you enter eternity is going to remain like that. So you must ask yourself, what do I do now in order to make my tomorrow's life better than what I am having now? Praise God. It is important. The government of this world will fade. That's why Mark chapter 9 verse 43 is more like a warning than advice. It is a very strong warning. He said, if your hands is going to hinder you from being properly placed in eternity, do what? Cut it off. Now, that's how strong Jesus had in mind about eternity. That's how strong the feeling he had about eternity. To the point that he could say, if it is going to be your left hand or your right hand that will cost you eternity, that will make it impossible for you to have a proper positioning and a proper posturing for eternity, you do what? You cut it off. Now, you know how important your hand can be to you. Praise God. And I'm sure that nobody will voluntarily donate his hand or his leg to be chopped off. Praise God. There is no point, no matter how sick you are, you won't go to the doctor and say, remove my leg. Even when you have injury in your legs or in your hand and the doctor say, we want to cut it off, you would do everything possible. You speak in tongues. You do everything possible to tell the doctor, leave it there. Let me know that I have it, even if it's not working. There are people today whose hands were removed because of accident. They went as far as buying artificial hands. Have you seen people like that? Even if they are not using it for anything, but it gives them shape. They say, let me just carry it. Praise God, so that I will look normal. Now, that's how important a part of your body can be to you. But Jesus says, if that body can cost you what? Eternity, do what? Remove it. So God is trying to let us know that the real value of life is not in what we have now. That the real value of life will be determined by what becomes of you tomorrow. Amen. Mark chapter 9 verse 43. He said, where their worm dieth not, and where the fire quencheth not, is a strong warning. If your hand is going to cost it, chop it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed. Life here is not just mere existence. It has to do with eternity. Jesus said, it is better for you to enter into eternity disabled than for you to enter into hell with your two hands. Your present existence is only a passage into real life. Your real life begins the moment you step across the bridge from this world into eternity. Somebody sang a song and said, across the bridge, there is no more sorrow. Across the bridge, there is no more pain. Praise God. Now, there is a place that you cross to. And when you take that step, it becomes impossible for you to repent. It becomes impossible for you to change. Therefore, how do we define the life that we are living now? The life we are living now is simply a passage. to the real life. The life we are living now is a vehicle that will transport us to the real life. The life we are living now is a preparation to where we are going to appear. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus gave a parable. He said, when the Son of Man shall come back in his glory, there shall be a lot of people gathered around him. And he shall separate one to the left and one to the right. And he shall call those at the left goats, and he shall call those at the right sheep. And then he will begin to melt out judgment to them and will tell those at the right, those of you who are beloved of my Father, who loved me and worked for me, come and inherit the joy that your Father has prepared for you from the foundation of the earth. For when I was hungry, you gave me food. I was in prison, you visited me. I was sick and you came to see me. And those ones will lift up their voice and say, Lord, when did we ever see you sick and we came looking for you? When did we see you in poverty and we came helping you? And Jesus will say, inasmuch as you did it for one of these little ones, you also did it for me. Praise God. So life that you are living now is a passage. The life that you are living now is a preparation. Just like the life we are living now is what primary school is to us. Primary school is good, but primary school is not the best level of education. Am I right? Praise God. Even if it is foundational, but you can't finish primary school and feel satisfied to stop there. You want to go further. And now primary school gives you a basis. It gives you a foundation to what you really want to get in the nearest future. So I'd like you to understand that the life that we live now, the life that we live here, affords us privileges, affords us opportunities to prepare for the life that we are going to live thereafter. So if you are under the sound of my voice and you are living a life now that does not and cannot guarantee you a better life in eternity, you better have a rethink. Praise God. I'd like you to understand that the pains of hell cannot be compared to the pains of hunger, the pains of starvation, the pains of sickness. The pains of hell cannot be compared to the rejections that you have on earth. So that some people would say, if I become this born again thing, my friends will reject me. And I don't want to bear that. It will be too shameful. The pains of hell would not in any way be compared to the pains of rejection and the depression that you are going to face here. So if I were you, I would better look around for what I can do now in order to guarantee me the real life. Because the real life begins the moment you cross that bridge from this world into eternity. It is clear from this scripture that your present existence is not only to make you prepare for your placement in eternity. Every man is given a chance to live in this world where change can occur so that he can by himself make a choice of his placement in eternity where there will be no change. Praise God. So the life that we are living now is only affording us an opportunity to prepare for our placement where you are going to be placed. What determines where you go to after this life is what you do now. The Bible says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, he will come with his reward with him to give unto every man according to how he has done in his body. And so I'd like you to know, children of God, that the consciousness of the return of Jesus should be paramount. Jesus said something very startling and settling, and something very encouraging to the disciples in Acts of the Apostles chapter 1. While he was engulfed and taken away by angels in heaven, the disciples stood in amazement and gazed towards the sky while Jesus was being transported without an aeroplane, without any physical force, but the forces of heaven. That was just a clear picture of what the rapture would look like. The Bible says that two will be lying on the same bed and one will be taken while the other will be left. Two will be working in the office and one will be taken while the other one is left. Do you still remember that such words are written in the scripture? That two will be walking along the road, one will be taken and the other one will be left. Many will be seated in the church, and then the trumpet will sound, and people begin to disappear. If there is any time that is getting closer, it is that time where such will begin to happen. But even if you are not going to be alive until it happens, you may die. Remember, the Bible said, they that are dead shall rise up first. And we that are living and remaining shall be caught up with him together in the sky. So while they were looking at Jesus ascending towards heaven, another man, an angel, came down from heaven and said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye and gaze at the sky? This same Jesus that has been taken away from you shall come back in likewise manner. He shall return again. And in John, Jesus spoke to the disciples and said, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God and believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. But I'm going to prepare a place. When I'm through with the preparation, I shall come and take you back, so that wherever I am, you also may be there. Now, Jesus was talking to the disciples on the premises that they have understood him and they are going to keep doing the things he has asked them to do that will qualify them to be taken when he returns. So the big question is, am I still doing what he asked me to do? Am I still occupying until he returns? Because what he finds you with when he returns is what is going to judge you with. Judgment is not going to base on your past church record. It's not going to base on your family Christian background. Judgment is going to be based on what he finds you with currently. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise Master Jesus. So every man is given a chance to live in this world that changes can occur. It is only in this world that we can change. And people are taking advantage of changes. There are those who used to be black skin before. Now they have become fair skin. That is change. There are those who used to be fair skin before. They can also change into dark skin. There are those who used to be something before and they have changed into another thing. It is only in this world that change can occur. And we have been given opportunity and privilege to live in this world that changes can occur, so that we can freely make changes and necessary adjustment to our life per time. Very soon, it may be difficult to make such changes. Praise the Lord. Because in the world after now, there is no room for change. No matter how old you are or you will be, you have been given such a duration as an opportunity to make a choice of your placement in eternity. You may be 20 today. You may be 15. You may be 60. You may be 70. Maybe you will live up to 100. But no matter how old you are and how old you will be, I'd like you to understand that such duration is given to you to make necessary adjustment. If you read the book of Genesis chapter 5, you will find a storyline that is very amazing. The Bible gave a genealogy of Adam from Adam down, and it kept on going and kept on going. Adam lived 960 years and begat sons and daughters, and he died. And then he mentioned others. They kept living and kept living. All they lived for was to marry and have children. And after they married and got children, they didn't do any other thing. They died. But the Bible says, and Enoch lived 360 something years. He also got married. He also had children. But it said, but Enoch walked with God. Enoch walked with God. He understood that beyond God solving his problem, beyond God healing his sick body, beyond God giving him a job, beyond God giving him a wife, beyond God giving him a family of his own, there was something to do for God. He said, and Enoch walked with God and was not, because he was taken. He walked so much in a right standing with God until God had a meeting in heaven and said, how do we repay Enoch for being so faithful, for being so righteous in the midst of perverse and crooked generation? And the heaven took a counsel and said, the greatest gift we can give to him is that we should snatch him alive. Praise God. Let him come to heaven alive. Enoch, Jesus, and Elijah are the only three persons recorded in the scripture that never saw death. Praise God. They went to heaven straight as they were. And God said, let us take him the way he is. We love him so much, so he's not going to die. So he's not going to wait. Let's just take him alive. Let him continue walking with us in heaven. My emphasis is that in the midst, in the time and generation, where every other person was mindful of their physical need, there was a man who came on board and decided that there is life beyond living 960 years. Methuselah lived the longest on earth, but there was nothing good about Methuselah. He lived and had children and died. So if you live for 200 years, the question is, how did you prepare for the life that you will be more than 200 years with your 200 years here on earth? So the time that we are living is a duration. And there are some persons that have lived 18 years of their life in smoking, in fornication. There are some that have lived 25 years now in sin. There are some that have lived 30 years, and that 30 years have become a waste to the economy of heaven. Some have lived 60 years, and 60 years on earth is already a waste in the economy of heaven. Let me ask you a question. The number of years that God has given you opportunity to live, is it an asset to heaven or it is a waste to the economy of heaven? Praise God. Because some persons are already wasting their years. Some persons are complicating their tomorrow. They are doing the things that would take away mercy. They are doing the things that would take away grace from them. And I pray that you that are under the sound of my voice, you wouldn't be a church goer and not a kingdom goer. That you will be a church goer and you will also be a kingdom goer. Because church is a passage to the kingdom. If you can go to church and cannot get to the kingdom, then there was no need going to church at all. Praise God. Do you know that the essence of coming to church is to make it to the kingdom? Forget about the fact that it has been changed slightly now. People believe that church is a place to solve problems. And so that's why you see a lot of people with a lot of problems. In fact, they only appear before God when they seem to have problems. Let me go to God so that he will heal me. That was not the primary purpose for church. Church was meant so that people could be taught about the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 5, the Bible says, and when he saw the multitude, he went up to the mountain. When he was set, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and began to teach them about the kingdom. There is no resounding sermon, and no sermon can ever be the sermon on the mount in Matthew chapter 5. That is the clearest sermon anybody could have preached anytime, any day. And he taught them about the kingdom of God. Why was he teaching them? To prepare. And the question is, how much are you preparing for Jesus? How much are you preparing for the kingdom? How much are you preparing? If you were to die now, sincerely ask yourself, if I have to give up the ghost now, am I sure I will make it to heaven? Praise God.
Bless you, Lord.